across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, June 27th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're joining us in some other form through the Civic Media app or watching us on video through one of our social media pages or on demand by podcast, we thank you as well for subscribing and taking us along on your day. I got a question for you, and let's see how much copyright trouble I can get into before Greg cuts me off. Are you ready to rumble?
No, stop right there.
I should stop. Yeah, that's it. It's debate night, boys and girls. It's going to be a rumble of sorts between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump, and I am... this is Greg Bach over here in Waukesha, by the way.
Come on, hi, Greg. Everybody.
We're just jumping right into today's question about whether you're going to watch the debate or not. And look, if you've listened to this show for any appreciable amount of time, although, by the way, isn't there an appreciable amount of time to listen to this show? But if you have, you know we're all about civics and good government and public service. We're good little nerds here. That includes, you know, that candidates should debate the issues, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, Greg,
yeah,
I'm going to talk to Joe Zepecki about this at the bottom of the hour. I can't get fired up for this because I just don't. There's a reason I don't watch Trump rallies regularly. You know, I'm just not looking forward to the human disruption tornado that shows up when we're trying to solve problems with government. And yet, you know, I'm going to be there tonight, not there at the debate, but I'm going to be there at my TV taking notes for everybody else. And I'm not telling the rest of you not to watch it. I'm saying I will, so you don't have to.
Well, that's actually funny you say that, because if you tune into Matt and Aaron Ayer today at 10 a.m., we're going to be, or in that show, we'll be talking about a fun game we'll be proposing. We started talking about yesterday. Actually, I can just, it's a presidential bingo.
Yes. I did get notes from friends saying, are you doing a bingo card for this one? And I just could not work up the energy to do it. So I'm glad you are. Thank you for you and Jane and everybody who's putting that together, because there's got to be... there's got to be a reason there. And yet, I'm going to ask Joe later, I mean, is this about motivating people, you know, in your base? Is it about demotivating people in the other base? Or are there still hearts and minds to be won? And here's some evidence that might say the answer to that last question is yes. Did you see the new Marquette poll that came out late yesterday?
Yep, I heard it.
Did you see what it said for registered voters in Wisconsin, of this particular Marquette poll, 871 registered voters with a margin of error of 4.6%. It said Joe Biden, 50%. Donald Trump, 50%. Yeah, we're in Wisconsin. This is the ultimate toss-up state.
Awesome.
So, yeah, if there's any hearts and minds to be won, they're going to be here.
Yay. We did it.
We're so evenly split. But, well, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel like my only saving grace for tonight will be if State of the Union Joe Biden shows up tonight. That will be something to behold.
Right. And the fact of the matter is, for anybody of that age, you're going to get both. You're going to get... some days you're going to be up and some days you're going to be not. I mean, my goodness, you hear me wrestling with it and I'm about to turn 60 and there's days where it's like, I feel great. And there's other days where it's like, I can't, how can a human feel this way? Is it going to be like this every day? And it's not, it's things come and go. And obviously the president's been at Camp David for a long weekend, you know, and the part of the work week prepping for it all. Trump says, oh, I've spent my lifetime preparing for this. And I've done very divisive interviews with very negative people for years, he said to a host on Newsmax, who used to be his chief of staff or campaign manager. Real combative interviews that he's doing there. He's got a strategy, and it's to blow everything up. And
yeah,
I guess it'll give us things to discuss. And yeah, if Joe Biden of the State of the Union shows up, that's That's what you want, because that's the guy with the ideas, with the energy. But more importantly, if you heard from a State of the Union message, the compassion, which we'd actually like to see in that job.
Yeah,
I would anyway.
Absolutely. And I also told Jane that if I was writing, if SNL was still on the air right now, if I would have written a sketch about this, it would have been the fact that they turned the mics off and then Donald Trump pulls out a microphone out of his pocket. But it's one of those toy microphones where it modulates his voice.
Fake news.
I've always said, and I'll say again, I think it would be best if they were both in, you know, if any two candidates in a debate were in soundproof booths. And that way you can cut the mic. And the only reason they won't do that is they're afraid we will then fill the soundproof booth with water and sharks, you know. But how about if you follow the rules that way? If you're going to watch, or if you're watching for something in particular, a particular issue or something, you can call or text the show at 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call us. You can text us that way. You can use the Civic Media app as well. Or you can put a comment on social media, and we may see it there. So, as mentioned, I'll talk to Joe Sopecki about the debate coming up in just a bit. In our second hour, we have our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good. And this time around, we're going to meet a candidate who currently sits on the Madison Common Council, running for a seat in the legislature, but also running for a spot in the history books. Nasra Wahilyeh would become the first Muslim woman to serve as a Wisconsin legislator, though to do that, she would first have to unseat a fellow Democrat, an incumbent legislator, in the August primary. So we will talk to her in our Women Win Wisconsin segment, and I'm sure at some point between now and the primary, we'll talk to the incumbent Democrat for that seat as well. 6 o'clock temperatures around Civic Media land go like this. And they're all pretty much about 15 degrees cooler than yesterday. Lake Wissota's at 56, Hayward 48, Park Falls 51, Wausau 54. It's 54 in Green Bay as well. La Crosse 57, Wisconsin Rapids 53, Oshkosh 56, Madison 57, and Waukesha is sitting at 52 degrees right now. The rabbits are starting to rumble outside my window. We've got a little garden of wildflowers outside the front window here, and there are these two bunny rabbits running around some of the wildflowers.
Yeah.
And I don't know bunnies that well. I don't know boy bunnies and girl bunnies or anything like that. But I wonder, was it a case of catch me? But then they started like rabbit boxing at one point. I was just like, are you fighting? It's 6 o'clock in the morning. You're in a wildflower patch. Just chill.
Enjoy your life.
Cool it, man.
Be lucky you're nowhere near my dog.
Yeah, or nowhere near some of the other things that Sherry's growing on the back porch. And if they come and chew on those flowers again, she's going to have words with them. The bunnies are cute until they eat the flowers that you actually want to grow. So, did you see the new ad from Tammy Baldwin, picking up on an argument we were probably the first ones to talk about, and that is finding the old Eric Hovde comments that if you're overweight, you should pay more for healthcare?
I did not, no.
Yeah, and I should look back as to when we first broke the story. We were tipped off by folks who have been going back through Eric Hovde's many radio appearances on right-wing talk shows and things, and there was a clip in there where he said that, you know, there should be, you know, essentially a tax on overweight people, that if you choose to be that way, then maybe you should pay more, was the way that he put it. I'll have to dig up the bite there, which is, shall we say, painting with a broad brush, as far as, you know, it's not like every person who's overweight is sitting on a recliner, you know, for 8 hours a day eating Cheetos like a feed bag strapped to their face. It doesn't work that way. There are all kinds of medical conditions involved as well. But, you know, if Eric Hovde, you know, Dr. Eric Hovde wants to set up your health insurance that way, I guess he can. And I recall we put that story out there a couple months back, and now I see a Tammy Baldwin ad is running where a lot of folks, all of them non-svelte like us, basically telling Eric Hovde where he can stick that idea. I mean, again, I'm sure he thought when he first said it, whenever he said it, he didn't know that he was going to run for U.S. Senate again. But there's a reason that we're now referring to him as professional rake stepper. Eric Hovde is the man just cannot get out of his own way.
Jane both loves that quote and that's title and is so jealous. She's like, I'm so mad I didn't think of it first. So let's take a brief moment. Let's see. Okay. Overweight people should pay more tax. There was some murky language on possibly a new prohibition on alcohol, possibly. If you are in a nursing home, you have 4 to 5 months left to live, and you shouldn't be able to vote anyways. That's fine. And he hasn't really released a single nuanced policy decision at all.
Right.
But boy, do I know he's from Wisconsin.
Yes, he loves to tell you that he's from Wisconsin. But yeah, found it here. It's from March 25th, actually, where in a half-hour Wisconsin Eye interview, he also, this is on farmers. You know, farmers just basically ride on a tractor these days.
Yes!
Mm-hmm. And he proposed raising the retirement age for up to age 72 for today's younger workers. And he said obesity is off the charts. We're removing people from being responsible for their own health. If they all started to realize that they're going to pay more for their health care by consuming massive amounts of soda every day or fatty foods or not exercising, maybe they would change their behavior patterns.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about thin people who shove food in their face and just happen to be thin for no reason?
Well, that's just good genes. And, you know, there's a certain political class that thinks you should be rewarded for good genes. So let's take a pause here, because when we come back, we're going to upset some people. We're going to talk sports.
It's going to get boring.
It's going to be so exciting. Come on. Yesterday's game, a grand slam. Inside the park home run.
Yes. 2 grand slams in 3 days.
Yes. And a walk-off win in extra innings. And the Brewers are 81 games into the season, halfway through. And we'll take a look at where the team is. That's all coming up in just a moment. But wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow. June 27th, which marks the birthday of Bob Keeshan, the late Bob Keeshan, who played Captain Kangaroo on the children's show for decades on CBS. He passed away 20 years ago, back in 2004, but Captain Kangaroo was a staple of morning TV. There was the Today Show on NBC. There was Captain Kangaroo on CBS. ABC ran a test pattern because they really couldn't come up with a morning show for decades. But for kids, that was it, with Mr. Green Jeans and Bunny Rabbit and all the other characters. And I look into the monitor closely to try to gauge whether this is any kind of a formidable memory in the childhood of Greg Bach, or if this is one of those things he read in the history books.
Oh, no, I remember Captain Kangaroo when I was little. I wasn't the biggest Caparoo fan. I was more Mr. Rogers and Sesame Street, but I enjoyed Captain Kangaroo.
we're television critics, you know, at such a young age. You know, I'm not really into Caparoo, but Mr. Rogers is more my taste.
The mise-en-scene of the whole set did not really appeal to my 4-year-old sensibilities. I enjoyed the cartoon antics of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
9, 10.
11, 12.
11, 12. Yes, totally 6! Understood. But I don't know how you couldn't at least pull out of the Captain Kangaroo show the desire at any given point to watch a truckload of ping pong balls be dropped on somebody. I mean, wouldn't we all be better off if a truckload of ping pong balls fell on somebody for saying the wrong thing at the wrong time?
Especially when they're lying in front of people and saying it's policy and things that we should be doing with our lives that push upon our own freedom.
And what? There go what? The ping pong balls. Whoa, yes, it would be.
What happened?
It would be so much better if we could get that out of life. All right, we've already gone through the checklist from the Brewers matinee yesterday, the grand slam, the inside the park home run, the walk-off hit in the bottom of the 10th, a series sweep of the defending world champion Texas Rangers, and a day of rest ahead of a weekend series with the Cubs. As they might say, check, check, and check. So the Brewers sweep the Rangers 6-5 yesterday. Andrew Monasterio got the single to left center to score the winning run in the 10th. Trevor Bowers had the grand slam. He had that in the third inning. Jackson Churio scored the inside the parker after the Texas center fielder really misjudged a wounded duck that fell in front of him and then slipped past all the way to the wall. On the mound, the Brewers have now had 14 different starting pitchers, more than any other team in the league, because yesterday, less than 2 hours before game time, they signed 36-year-old Dallas Keuchel, the Cy Young Award winner from 2015,
yeah,
who hasn't pitched in the bigs since last fall. He gave up all five of Texas's runs in four innings of work, eight hits, including two home runs, but five Brewers relievers then combined to give up only two hits after that, giving the offense time to catch up and eventually win the game. So what I'm saying is we'll take – basically, if we put a mirror under your nose and it fogs and you can pitch a couple of innings, we'll take it from there. But we need somebody to at least get the game started. So the Brewers now have 81 games in the book. Statistically, we are halfway through the season. The Brewers have a six-game lead atop the National League Central. They are 15 games above 500. They are 20-5 in their last 25 home games. The pitcher with the most wins on the team is a non-roster invitee to spring training who showed up as a reliever. Jared Kinnig now has 7 wins. This is honestly, it's turning out more and more like Major League the movie that was filmed in Milwaukee. You know?
I know.
So it's like, this ragtag bunch?
I know. I love it so very much. I'm glad you brought up Major League. I love that movie. My grandmother worked at County Stadium from 1955 until like 1990, and she was there for the taping of that film. Those boys were so nice. And yeah, I mean, and is it apocryphal or is it true? Did Pat Murphy text Dallas Coolidge? What's his last name?
Keuchel.
Well, I was way off. Dallas Keuchel. Like, so like, hello, my name is Pat Murphy. I am the head, I'm the coach of the team that has acquired you. I'd love to talk to you. Just, he texted the dude.
It's so funny. And I think I'd have to check through all the emails that that Mike Clemens sends every day. But yeah, he actually read out loud the text that he had sent. And I think I got it. I think I got it here. No, I may. We'll have to look at it during the break. But yeah, he basically says, yeah, I sent him a text saying, you know, I am the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, the club to which you have been traded. I am looking forward to your contributions or lack thereof. You know, just kind of, you know, pulling the guy's leg and making him feel comfortable. Where's this guy? I mean, where's he been? He's been sitting on the bench behind Craig Counsell. If we'd have known all this time that we had this guy. As opposed to Craig Counsell's pouting, I would have taken this guy in a heartbeat.
Pat Murphy is just it's weird. For a guy who should be like the grumble baseball, he's a breath of fresh air. He's fun. Mm-hmm. And I asked my friend this, who is a baseball fanatic, and I'd love to get your take on this. Could this be a renaissance of hiring these kind of older guys again? Because a lot of the coaches now are younger and like more energy and more fire. It's like Patch is like, we're just having a good time, guys. Let's just have a good time.
Yeah, just do that. How about that?
Yeah.
Just go have a good time. You know how to play. You're in this game for a reason. You clearly have some skills.
Yeah.
And, you know, not everything has to be sabermetrics down to the nth degree. You know? Go out and play the game.
And they are.
And they do.
They have a very
well-deserved day off today. Then they will continue their homestand. So they actually get, you know, home cooking for a day and sleep in their own beds for more than a day. And they will be back in action tomorrow night, taking on the Chicago Cubs, who come in for a three-game series. And you know the Cubs are, you know, basically nowhere to be found at this point. They are last in the National League Central, 11 games behind. But again, we have an entire half of a season to go. So
yeah,
nobody get cocky.
No.
You got me, people?
No. And but we're taking note, Chicago fans, of your attitude right now. And if you end up winning more down the road, we're like, hey, where were you a couple months ago when you were like, fire Craig Council,
In the Up North News Daily newsletter, it is apparently Friday is National Food Truck Day. Christina Lurie's already getting ready for it by talking about the 30,000 estimated food trucks across the U.S. and Canada, and there are new ways to find out where food trucks may be making appearances near you and helping you find some of your favorites. And she lists a few fan favorites in the newsletter as well. There's also a note about this being the final days of Pride Month. And so there are ways that you can patronize some of the booksellers who sell banned books. Many of the books are banned because they have the audacity to recognize our LGBTQ population. And also, it's funny, just yesterday we were talking about American Family Field and eating there, and she's got an article in there about some of the best and some of the more unconventional foods that you will find at the ballpark, and that includes, and she's got a beautiful picture of, did you ever get the bacon that they served there? The bacon that's served on clothespins off of a rack. It's like got a little maple syrup, a little brown sugar on it.
Oh, my goodness. It's
fresh out of the oven.
I've been fighting the urge to get helmet nachos.
Okay, get the helmet nachos, you know what? Get the bacon first. Okay. Though.
All right.
Oh, you will not regret that. When we come back, we're gonna have Joe Zepecki, and we're gonna again try to talk about the debate. Joe Zepecki works with a group called Protect Our Care, so we'll definitely emphasize how healthcare could and should be an issue at this presidential debate. That's followed by today's history lesson and much more on this Thursday morning on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. And now on Up North News Radio, it's Thursday morning. That brings us Joe Zepecki as we preview what's going to be a busy night for all the talking heads of basic cable and elsewhere. And Joe and I will nobody else. It's all about the talking heads and not even the good one, the music. Joe and I will talk about it, you know, and maybe we'll put a little something on Monday morning show. But we're going to focus on the preview end of it. And we're going to talk specifically about, you know, one key issue. But Joe, let's start with the whole notion of that there's supposed to be two of these debates. I'm kind of surprised that Trump by now didn't already come up with some reason not to do it. But, you know, as of, you know, 6:35 on Thursday morning, do we think that, you know, what do we expect we're going to think when this is all said and done?
I believe that tonight's debate will happen. Of that, I am almost sure, as sure as anything in American politics. And okay. What I expect to see is a former president of the United States who kind of only has one mode, which is yelly, angry, shouty guy. He doesn't actually do this well, and he never has. You know, we've been at this for a while. A lot has happened. In the 2016 presidential primary debates, he was able to sort of hide among a really impressive, in retrospect, and really big crowd of Republican candidates running for president, governors and senators and statesmen. And when he, in the few minutes he had in all those debates, he just was his Trumpy, shouty, ridiculous self. He did not comport himself very well in the 2016 debates with Hillary Clinton. He was caught, you know, the angry, like, stalking her around the stage, that what a vile woman, you know, she's a nasty woman, that type of stuff. And he didn't do very well in 2020. Nope. And so, you know, I expect we're going to get the Donald Trump we always get, which is somebody who talks only and first and always about himself, who is clearly most interested in himself and not very interested in the American people or what he's going to do for them. I believe he will be vindictive. I believe he will be shouty and angry. And, you know, by contrast, I think President Biden will come in with a game plan and he'll try to execute it, whether that is to, you know, goad Trump into erupting sooner, whether that is to just say, you know what, I'm not going to deal with the yelly shouty guy standing across from me. I'm here to talk to the American people tonight about what we've done and where we're going. You know, that remains to be seen. But here's what I'm sure of. We're going to see two candidates on that stage who have way more yesterdays than tomorrows. Mm-hmm. And what I hope happens is that the viewers recognize that and realize that that's a pretty good reason to think about this through the lens of, it's not about the two of them. It's not about Trump or Biden. It's about those of us with a lot of tomorrows left and the kind of country we want to live in and the kind of society we want to live in and the rules of the road for that society. Do we want our granddaughters and daughters to have the same rights and freedoms as our sons and grandsons? Do we want an economy where those at the very top are always doing better and always get a new tax cut no matter what? Or do we want an economy where hard work and, you know, and grit can get you from the working poor into the middle class and from the middle class into that upper middle class where you can retire with dignity and maybe have a little bit of extra money at the end of the month to spoil those grandkids? And I think that is what is ultimately at stake tonight. And I hope that Americans watch it that way and not through the lens of who's winning, who's losing, who's up, who's down, who's hitting all their marks, because it's not about these two candidates. It's about all of us.
Well, it's, you know, the phrase from your lips to God's ear, you know, comes into play here. But you're asking an audience that has become so used to politics as entertainment to not think about it as entertainment for, you know, 2 hours. And for that time to put some thought into what those tomorrows would be like. And I just wonder if angry shouty guy.
That kid can dream, can he?
Well, I know. But he knows that for so many people, it's show business. He's always been a showman. He's going to be nothing but a showman. And some people are only going to be impressed by the show rather than the policy. I guess when it's all said and done, I just don't know that a lot. It's not so much about changing minds, is it? It's about motivating or demotivating a certain group of viewers. You don't necessarily agree with that.
Yeah, I think we know. Yeah, we know that this is a unique election where both of these men have been president. And so there's a little less that's unknown that you have to try to sort of interpret. We know what kind of president Joe Biden has been. He's been one who has gotten a lot done legislatively. We know who he is fighting for and what he's trying to do. And he's doing it without a lot of noise and turmoil. We know that Donald Trump was a clown. And we got 4 years of a clown show that ended up in a global pandemic where he made it worse and it cratered the American economy. And that all he cares about is himself. And that the attention was all on him and not on what he was trying to do for the country. And so, you know, I do think this will be, tonight will serve as an important reminder of that, because given the trauma of the pandemic that we all went through, I think a lot of people really sort of buried that and forgot just how bad it was, just how terrible things were when Joe Biden became president. And when you look at where we are today compared to January of 2021, my goodness, folks, times are great. We had record number of people flying on airplanes last weekend. You know, the biggest Memorial Day travel of all time, more people working in Wisconsin than ever before. And I'm not suggesting happy days are here again for everybody, but I am suggesting that when you look at it that way, my goodness.
No, but you're giving the perfect challenge to my premise about whether it's just motivating, demotivating people in saying that in fact, there are still people who can be persuaded or convinced that if they take just a little extra time looking at Biden's record, that they can be won over. And it's not just about, you know, motivating or demotivating your base, that Joe Biden still has a case to make to people and can still change or win over some hearts and minds.
I think he can, but we'll see.
He's got a resume.
Well, yes, he's got a list of accomplishments, the likes of which a first-term president has not had in a very long time.
You know, let's turn for a moment to the U.S. Supreme Court, because now for the second time, something like this was so unheard of. But now we have a U.S. Supreme Court where, again, a potential ruling has been leaked out. And this one is the EMTALA case, the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, basically the very extreme anti-abortion rights law in Idaho. And it appears, based on what leaked out, that the court is preparing to side with the Biden administration on that. Again, not final. All the other disclaimers are there. But I do wonder if this is a conservative block of justices that has suddenly relearned the art of self-awareness and has said, maybe we did go too far with Dobbs 2 years ago this week.
I wouldn't give them that much credit. Okay. Why would you? This is a Republican Party in states around the country who are coming for IVF. There are leaders in this conservative MAGA majority Republican Party that are coming for birth control. They don't get credit for if what they decided is that a pregnant woman lying on an emergency room table in front of them bleeding to death, that it's okay for them to give her medical treatment. You don't get flowers for that. They created this mess by legislating from the bench, which is the one thing that Republicans said we weren't supposed to do, that they couldn't countenance. And it's 2 years this week, and I'm still pissed off about it, if you can't tell by the tone of my voice. So just no, a little bit, they don't get credit. They don't get points. They made this mess, and they're not interested in fixing it or making it better. Joe Biden and Democrats are.
We are looking at some of the news around some of the other states as part of the Courier Newsroom Network. And in Pennsylvania, the House there this week approved requiring health insurance to cover contraception, which is only true in about 30 states or so, including Wisconsin. In other words, there's still a lot of room to grow. But Joe, equally true is that you have MAGA Republicans who are doing whatever they can to restrict access to contraception, which is taking the abortion debate into a most decidedly extreme position.
Yeah, there's just no question. And I don't know how many. It's funny, I was listening to a conversation yesterday between a former Biden White House official. And she sort of reminded listeners that the left tried to warn people. Joe Biden tried to warn folks. Hillary Clinton tried to warn folks that they were coming for Roe, that they were coming for the right to access to health care. And now and then, sure enough, it proved right. Conservatives came for it. And now we're warning you that they're coming for IVF like they did in Alabama, that they're coming for birth control. When are people going to start believing this? I don't know. That's up to the people who are unsure. But in retrospect, if we lose all these rights, if we go from 30 states to 3, you know what? It's not going to be because you weren't warned, folks. They're telling you who they are. Believe them. I don't know how else to put it.
And so part of what you were working on this week under the Protect Our Care umbrella was holding a kind of a pre-debate, presser to talk about the issues of healthcare and, not just what is happening in Supreme Courts and legislatures, but the stakes in this presidential election. Now, I don't know the degree to which healthcare is going to come up much in Atlanta tonight or not, but what was your overarching theme?
It needs to.
Of course it ought to. But I'm saying, what is going even beyond reproductive healthcare to healthcare writ large? What is the takeaway for you when voters look at column A versus column B, Biden versus Trump?
Yeah, it was a great conversation held on Tuesday afternoon. And the point of the Wisconsinites who were sharing their stories with Secretary of State Godlewski and with Protect Our Care is in a 90-minute debate, there ought to be 9-10 minutes of it on healthcare, at least, because every American is impacted by healthcare in this country. And lost in all of the who's up, who's down, and some of the other Flashpoint controversies is this, you know, healthcare is what, 1/5 of the American economy, maybe more than that, and it impacts everybody. And there is a very different approach between these two gentlemen on the issue of healthcare. One of them, Donald Trump, tried to repeal Obamacare and just erase it from U.S. law and was so happy that he got halfway there through the Congress. He threw a pep rally on the lawn of the White House with congressional Republicans in 2017. Maybe it was 2018. And if it weren't for a single vote in the United States Senate, famously cast by the late great John McCain, Obamacare would be gone. And so that's the Trump record. The Biden record is he built on Obamacare. He made it better through the Inflation Reduction Act. He's lowering drug prices. He's expanding access. More than 266,000 Wisconsinites are on Obamacare plans this year. That's the most ever. And so the conversation that those two gentlemen ought to have in front of the American people is, what's Biden going to do? What's Trump going to do? Because I think that story reveals a lot about who they're working for, who they're fighting for, and what the next 4 years will look like for this country. And that's what this ought to be about.
Well, there you go. Closing on, you know, who you're fighting for. Just where we were, you know, 24 hours ago, wrapping up our Elizabeth Warren interview, when she used the term fight or fighter, you know, a half a dozen times. It's all about the fight, Joe. We got to be in the fight for healthcare.
Well, she's a fighter. And here's the thing. It's not all about the fight. It's about getting it done. And Joe Biden did get it done. For decades, for 30 years, presidents tried to get Medicare to be able to negotiate for lower drug costs, to lower prices, to save the U.S. government money. None of them got it done until Joe Biden. So he's not just fighting, he's getting it done. With respect, I revise and extend from Senator Warren's, I'm sure, marvelous comments.
Joe, thanks so much. As always, talk to you again real soon.
You bet.
Welcome to the Up North News Radio Dance Party. Folks watching on social media, I wish we had an effect where just a disco ball would drop down at some point when the dance party breaks out. But did Whitney go away? That's it. We've had...
Sorry, there was a button mispressed. We're back, folks. Here we go. Here's Whitney.
I never cease to be amazed, and it's not just the studios at WAUK, but I saw it at the TV station, I saw it at the radio stations I work with, that things are pretty consistent from, you know, it's open the microphone and talk, open the microphone and talk, and yet everywhere I go, you walk into a room, and things are nothing like the way they were set before, and you're like, what happened in here before that you needed this button over here and that lever over there, and is that a steam engine you put in the studio? What is happening here?
Well, I can say this. Everything that happened just now was 100% my fault.
Well, you are good. You are a good soldier for saying that. I'm just saying that it's I sometimes come to my own computer and I'm like, wait, oh wait, that's Google has locked me out again. I need to log back in.
Yeah, you know? Right. Hey, I'm all living my life, and Google's like, hey, we're just gonna sign you off for no reason. Come on back.
Yeah, yeah, yep. And it's times like that you want to just run away and show up at a place where they're playing Whitney Houston. This was the debut single from her second album, and it was her fourth number one hit on this day in 1987. On this day in 1956, at a studio in Hollywood, Fats Domino took a song popularized first by Gene Autry in 1940. You surely didn't know that, because what Fats Domino did, you know, this night 68 years ago, made this song his song from that moment on. Now, I will say, to be fair, for a moment there, somebody else did own the song. Richie Cunningham, but it was on Happy Days and only for a short amount of time. It was such a great comedic move that whenever he was thinking about a girl or thinking he was going to get lucky or whatever, he'd always start singing that song. I'm like, that was a nice little comedic touch in script writing.
I'm sorry, but I'm still here for the justice of Chuck Cunningham. Where did he go?
Where is Chuck Cunningham?
He has been upstairs for decades now. Well, and I want to know what happened to the young man.
That's just that he and Jimmy Hoffa have been in a long going game of gin rummy, and neither one can quite win. So they just keep going. Let's see. We mentioned that Bob Keeshan from Captain Kangaroo was born this day in 1927. Country singer Lori Morgan was born in Nashville on this day in 1959, rendering Lori Morgan 65 years old today. This was also the day that Ross Perot was born, this day in 1930. He passed away about 5 years ago. The businessman turned presidential candidate. Now, depending on your point of view, either Ross Perot, who got nearly 20% of the vote nationwide but didn't win a single electoral vote in 1992, was either somebody who shook up the system, deservedly so, and put the two parties on notice, or set the stage for people in business going, well, I'm a business leader and I'm rich, and so I should run for president. And Ross Perot paved the way for a guy like Donald Trump. You decide.
Let us know. Tell us your thoughts.
Yeah, no, you know. In 1964, this day 60 years ago, the number one song was written by John Lennon and Paul McCartney, but it was sung by Peter and Gordon.
Please lock me away.
Oh, wow.
And don't allow the day here inside.
Are you laughing because you don't... You hadn't heard this song before?
I haven't heard this song in so long. And when I... It's like that thing where I just... Because it just sounds so Beatles.
Yes.
And if you Google the album cover...
Yeah.
It looks like Runaway Kids from Hogwarts recorded a record.
The connection here for folks who don't know their Beatles history is Peter and Gordon. The Peter was Peter Asher. Yeah. And Paul McCartney was dating Peter Asher's sister Jane at the time. So they all kind of knew each other. They were all mates, as they say back then. And it led to Peter and Gordon getting this Lennon and McCartney tune and making it their own. Happy birthday to her. Born Gabriella Sarmiento Wilson, her, an acronym for Having Everything Revealed, she is 27 today.
Wanna believe what you say, but I hate you on most days. You've been testing my faith, my patience.
It was on this day in 1970 that a musical group changed the name of the group, and it probably changed their destiny. You know them as Queen, but at the time, the name of their group was Smile, and somebody said, why don't you change it to Queen? And they performed for the first time this day in 1970 under that moniker, and it seemed to have worked out all right for them after that. And finally, on this day in 2000, Nelly released his debut album, Country Grammar, including, of course, the big hit Ride With Me, one of the few rap albums to go diamond, selling over 10 million copies. Did they turn up your background microphone a little too much? You were on there, right?
That was me. That was me. I wrote the song. I wrote this. Okay. I'm St. Louis Strong.
This is National Work From Home Day. Check. I mean, what else am I going to do? Yeah. That was a big deal once upon a time, you know, pre-pandemic. Like, wow, you get to work from home? Like, yeah, this is the world we live in now. This is National Sunglasses Day. This is National Helen Keller Day, celebrating the woman born this day in 1880. This is National Bingo Day. Did you ever do bingo as like for fun and recreation. And I say that because once a year in our church had like a fall festival. And so all day long, I'd be with my grandma under this big tent, and you get all these dried lima beans for your bingo cards. And we'd be playing bingo for like hours on end once a year. That was it.
I remember playing bingo when I was a kid with the little cards with the little plastic mover things go over your numbers. But now I do drag bingo once a month at Lakefront Brewery.
Right.
So
yes.
I get to watch bingo happening all the time. So
that's right. You're surrounded by it. Today's National Ice Cream Cake Day. It's Women's Fly Fishing Day. And it's National Bomb Pops Day. And I could have